and welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. So great to be back with you here once again. Guess what? I have a seat reserved for you at the table right across from me. I invite you to sit down, bring a beverage, bring a snack, and let's settle in as this week we're going to be discussing the mass readings for the fifth Sunday of Easter. Now, the message this week, this is a message you've heard before, and this is what I came up with for the title of the program. I always, when I decide what to title these programs, I read over the readings, I say a prayer, I ask the Holy Spirit to guide me. Now, sometimes it's easier than others to come up with a title or a theme. This one was a no-brainer for me. And again, this is something we have all heard time and time again. But the message that really unites these readings today and clearly comes across is one that we've heard numerous times. But it's one of the most difficult messages, or commands really, because that's what it is from the Lord, to put into practice. Love one another, but not just love one another. Love one another, Jesus says, as I have loved you. You know as well as I do, that's easy to put into practice sometimes, mainly to those people who are lovable or who are loving us. But often, it is the most difficult thing to put into practice. At least for me, it is. When we are called or commanded to love those who we might view as unlovable, those whom we don't like, those who have offended us, those who have tried to hurt us, those who are just nasty, it's difficult to love those people as Jesus loved us. But that's, when the Lord addresses that message to us repeatedly in the scriptures, he never gives us an out. He never says to us, love them, unless they're too unlovable, then you don't have to worry about it. He doesn't ever say that. And that's why it's so challenging and a message that makes me uncomfortable because I know I fail at this so many times. But as we were saying throughout the Lenten season, it's good that we recognize our shortcomings, isn't it? Because then we can realize where we need to work on, the areas where we need work. And we're still alive, so we have the time to do that. So this week we're going to talk about love one another as I have loved you. And it's the fifth Sunday of Easter. Just to kind of put things into perspective before we pray, there are seven Sundays of Easter, and that eighth Sunday after that is Pentecost Sunday. This year is going to be a little bit different for most dioceses of the United States, because the seventh Sunday of Easter is often replaced by the celebration of of the Ascension. It's transferred from Thursday to Sunday in most dioceses. So we will we'll look at that when we do the program. I'll probably maybe do a little bit of both, but we got a couple weeks for that. But just to know where we stand, we're in the fifth Sunday. We've got the sixth Sunday next week. We've got the seventh Sunday or Ascension. And then we got Pentecost. So we're very close, a few weeks away from celebrating Pentecost, bringing the Easter season to a close, and then we enter back into ordinary time. But right now, we are still celebrating Easter. We are still saying Alleluia frequently because the Lord is risen. We don't want to lose sight of that. But today, we're given that clear message, command. I keep saying message. It's not a message. It's a command from Jesus. Yes, I'm risen, but here's what I need you to do. Love one another as I have loved you, with a sacrificial love that's going to hurt sometimes. So we'll talk about that as we go on through these readings. Here's what we're going to do, as we always do. Let's kick it off with a prayer. Let's remember that we are in the presence of God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. He created us. He adopted us. And he loves us with an unconditional love, and he provides for all of our needs. Let's turn to him now and talk to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, it's so good to be with you again. It's an incredible honor for me to be able to lead off these programs with a pretty personal prayer directed to you. It is more than just my prayer, as you know, Father. Anybody listening is united with me in prayer, and I'm grateful for that opportunity. So we approach you, Father, with one voice today. We first want to thank you. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to speak with you. Father, we want to praise you. We want to praise you for your power, for your omniscience. You know everything, your omnipresence. You're present everywhere at the same time. Your infinite love and unconditional love for us. You are really beyond our comprehension, Father, and that's the way it should be, because you are God, we're not. But we thank you for allowing us to be in your mighty presence and for giving us this opportunity to speak with you. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us, starting with the blessing of life. You created us. We had nothing to do with our own creation. You created us. You have sustained us for all these years, provided for all of our needs, sent your Son Jesus to redeem us. Father, we want to apologize if we have offended you in any way. We're sorry that we did it our way instead of your way so many times. We ask you to please forgive us and give us the grace to avoid committing any sins this day. And finally, Father, we turn to you with our needs. We ask you to give us this day our daily bread, whatever it is that we need this day. We pray that one day we can live with you in heaven. We pray for our family members and friends, for all those who have asked for our prayers, for all who are sick today. We pray for their healing in body, mind, and spirit. We pray for those who lead our country, the United States. We pray for those around the world, all the leaders around the world. And we pray that all who lead do so in a way which would please you. We pray that your name could once again become prominent, not just in the U.S., but throughout the world, where people aren't afraid to mention you, to invoke your name, to pledge their allegiance to you, Father. We ask you to help us with our own personal needs. You know what they are. You know what we need more than we do, Father. Please help us. Please help those who are discouraged or hopeless or even suicidal today. Please help those who are in most need of your mercy. We ask you to comfort those who are grieving, who might be suffering in any way. And we pray, Father, that you will send your Holy Spirit to each of us today, that as we listen to the words of Scripture on today's program, we'll be able to clearly hear your message and desire to put it into practice in our lives. And finally, Father, I just want to ask you to give me the words as I comment on the Scriptures, that I can deliver the message that you would like me to deliver. Father, on my own, I can't do it. On my own, I would absolutely deliver my own message, a very imperfect message. But with your help, I believe I could deliver a more powerful message. Please give me that grace today to be able to do that. We ask all these things, Father, in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. It's always a pleasure to be able to do that. I can't imagine doing this show without praying. I always say a prayer before I begin. As I look at the readings, I pray over the readings and ask the Lord to give me the words, give me the theme. But I also like to do it in united with you, so we can all pray together and ask the Lord to really to guide us, because it's a matter of me getting the right words. It's a matter of you hearing the message the right way. It's a matter of me hearing the message the right way, because I'm not just a host of this show. I'm also the recipient as I listen to these readings and some powerful stuff. You know, we don't want to dismiss or downplay the power of God's written word in sacred scripture. That's him speaking to us. So that's one of the reasons I pray. I want to direct you to my website before we start, followingthetruth.com. You can find out all about my work there, including you could sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. That's free of charge. You can do that at followingthetruth.com. In addition, you can invite me to speak at your parish or your conference. I'm booking for 2026 right now. Lent is pretty open for me. So if you want to bring me in for Lent, specifically to do a give up worry for Lent, parish mission, or a talk, go to followingthetruth.com and let's make it happen, okay? Let's get started with these readings. Now, again, this is the readings, Sunday readings for the fifth Sunday of Easter. Love one another as I have loved you is the theme. And, you know, as we're going to start with the gospel, as I always do on the show, we let the gospel lead the way. The response, right, the Alleluia verse right prior to the gospel is very, very clearly expresses the theme. And these are the words of Jesus in John 10:27. I give you a new commandment, says the Lord. Love one another as I have loved you. Boom. Right? Pretty clear. It's pretty hard to miss that. And as we go through these readings, I'm confident you're going to see that common theme emerge. And we'll work at it a little bit to make sure that we can get that theme or we can really perceive that theme. It doesn't mean there aren't other themes in each one of these readings, but when you look at them all, it's my understanding after praying about it that that's the one that emerges. And look, that's one that we need to hear. To some degree, we all need to get better at this. You may be a lot better at this than I am, but all of us need to work on loving others, or that we need that constant reminder too, even if we're doing it, to love one another as I have loved you, says Jesus. All right, the gospel, John 13, beginning in verse 31. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is Jesus speaking prior to his being taken into captivity, giving up his life for our sake. And look, let's look at this. What he's telling us is to love one another, okay, as I have loved you. How did he love us? With an unconditional love, which caused him, which made him desire to give up his life willingly for our sake. He put our needs before his needs. He loved us by giving up his life for our sake. And it doesn't get any bigger than that. And he's really extending that to each one of us. And he goes on to say, this is how everybody's going to know you're my disciples. If you love one another, if you have love for one another. So he's really calling us. Sometimes we think that the way people are going to know we're disciples or the way we should evangelize is just with words. It's much more than words. It's words and actions. And what's that primary action? That primary action is love. Sacrificial love, which means it's got to hurt a little bit. And when he says give up your life, he's not necessarily talking in a bloody manner as he did on the cross. But what he's saying is put others first, put their needs first. Doesn't mean you hurt yourself or you put yourself in any kind of jeopardy or you don't take care of your needs. No, you have to take care of your needs. But this is a selfless love, not a selfish love. And also, it doesn't necessarily involve feelings. There's a form of love that feels good. And at times, loving deeply is going to produce good feelings. But it doesn't always start there. More often than not, it doesn't start there. And quite often, this is just speculative on my part. I don't have any data to back this up, but I would say more often than not, sacrificial love is not a lot of fun. But it wasn't a lot of fun to hang on the cross either. And I have to remember this every day. Every one of us has people who need love. It might be somebody in the store we run into who needs us to show them love. It might be a friend. It might be somebody who betrayed us. It might be family members. And sometimes we have to sacrifice ourselves or to love as Jesus loved us requires me to say, you know, I don't really feel like loving this person. Not always, but in order to have sacrificial love, you've got to be willing to say, it doesn't, I don't feel like loving this person. I feel like taking care of myself right now, but I will choose to help them, to love them, to help that, comfort them in some way. That's sacrificial love. Again, sometimes you really want to do it. You're just inspired. You say, I just want to love this person. I want to help them. But there are times that I don't want to love other people. I just want to relax. But the Lord calls us. Not all the time, because we need some time for ourselves too. But the Lord often calls us to get out of ourselves and to do what's right for the sake of others, to help them, as he did when he was dying on the cross. And even if you're familiar with the way of the cross, the stations of the cross, there's that station, the eighth station of the cross, where Jesus comforts the women of Jerusalem. He comforted them, even though, what was he doing? He was carrying his cross. He was in pain, but he comforted them. And that's an incredible reminder for us that we don't have to have it all together to love somebody. We can love somebody even when we're in pain, even when we're hurting ourselves at the time. We can love other people. And that requires effort. It requires grace. But if the Lord gave us that command to love one another as I have loved you, then know that it's possible. And I think that's the important thing for us to remember. All right, let's back up a little bit. Go to the first reading, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, verses 21 through 27. Now, see if you can find that theme of loving one another in this first reading. After Paul and Barnabas had proclaimed the good news to that city and made a considerable number of disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. They strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, saying, "It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." They appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting commended them to the Lord, in whom they had put their faith. Then they traveled through Pisidia and reached Pamphylia. After proclaiming the word at Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they now accomplished. And when they arrived, they called the church together and reported what God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. You know, and this is finding that message in this first reading. You got to look at it in a general sense. And when you think about it, this makes perfect sense. You don't explicitly see love one another in the words of this first reading. But look, Paul, Barnabas, the apostles of the early church, many of the leaders, they were sacrificing a lot. I mean, look at St. Paul. This guy did not have an easy life. He put the needs of others ahead of his own needs. He traveled, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he suffered, he was imprisoned, and eventually he was put to death. When you look at how the early church grew, it grew through a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. People putting their own comfort on the back burner. Because look, it wasn't a matter of Paul and the apostles hopping in a jet and traveling even in a car. I mean, that's not the way it was done. Travel was painful. And there was persecution of Christians going on at the time. But yet they refused to give in. They refused to dishonor the command of Jesus, who said, "Love one another as I have loved you." And they went and they did it. They brought the good news to those in need, even though it was costly to them. And look at our world right now. So many people don't know Jesus. So many people need to know Jesus. The world really wants to push his message to the side. A lot of people don't want to go to church anymore. A lot of people don't care about faith. But these are people who need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And you know, sometimes those people who need to hear that message, they're family members. They're living under our roofs. And they might be annoyed at the church, they might be annoyed at the Lord, they might be angry, they might even get nasty. But what we do, how can we love those people? Well, one thing we can always do, no matter what, even if we can't get out of our house or they don't want to hear us, we could pray for them. So I'm going to encourage you to pray for those, especially who need to know God's love. And oftentimes they're the people who are so nasty, so bitter, so angry, so discouraged, so hopeless, that they're not going to do it for themselves. So we need to pray for those people. I got them in my life, believe me. We need to pray for those people so that the Lord, by His grace and through our prayers, will open up their hearts so that they would be willing to hear His words, right, and put them into practice. Because a lot of people don't want anything to do with God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit or religion. Some people are bitter. Everybody responds to adversity in different ways. Some people, when they encounter a crisis, they grow closer to the Lord. Other people, they just give up. I'm not going to pray anymore. I don't want anything to do with God. I don't like Him. I hate Him even. You know, some people react in a very negative way when it comes to adversity. So we need to pray for them, especially if you know people who are unhappy, who are suffering, who are angry, who have left the faith. A lot of times I get emails and I talk to people who are concerned about their children who no longer practice the faith. Pray for them. Don't stop praying. Prayer matters. It's something any of us can do. A lot of times we might be unable to get out of the house. We might not be able to move around too much. We might not have access to too many people. We might have a limited mobility. Whatever it is, we can pray, or we can offer up our suffering. You know, maybe you're going through an illness right now. You can offer up your suffering as prayer for those who are hurting, for those in your life who might not know Jesus. That's one thing we can always do. And there's other things we can do. We could tell people, you know, you're going to run into people who are hurting, who are saying, oh, my back hurts, I'm sore, I'm sad about this person, I lost my husband or whatever. You can always say, I'll keep you in my prayers. I've never heard anybody not say thank you for that. Every now and then, yeah, it's possible somebody could get angry at that. But for the most part, people appreciate the fact that you care enough to pray for them. And what that does, that evangelizes, that expresses your love for them. It shows you care for them. And then that might soften their heart a little bit so they'll be more willing to welcome the Lord. It also might grant them comfort if you just say, is there anything I can do for you? Can I help you in any way? This is love. That's how we love people. You know, and sometimes we have these enemies, people who are angry at us or have angered us, or we no longer have the ability to speak with them. They're the people we can always pray for, because, you know, no matter what anybody says, no matter how angry they are, they can't stop us from praying for them. They can't. Sometimes it's best not to tell them you're praying for them, because that might get them even angrier. Sometimes it is the right thing, you know. So there are any number of different things we can do for people. It doesn't mean, if somebody has offended us greatly or is really nasty to us, it doesn't mean we have to take them out to dinner. That's turning yourself into a doormat. That's not what the Lord is saying here. Sometimes we have to have a little self-respect and shake the dust from our feet, as the Bible says quite often. But even then, when we do that, we keep praying for those people. We can fast for them as well. We can offer up our suffering. And in time, that can really, really make a difference. Okay, so all of that goes into loving someone. And, you know, when you look at it, love one another as I have loved you, that sacrificial love, that's all part of it. All right, I'm running out of time a little bit, so I want to make sure I do the responsorial psalm, Psalm 145. I will praise your name forever, my King and my God. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. The Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all his works. Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord. Let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of your kingdom and speak of your might. Let them make known your might to the children of Adam and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is a kingdom for all ages, and your dominion endures through all generations. I will praise your name forever, my King and my God. And we do that. This is all part of love, praising God, loving God, and then going out and loving other people in His name. Second reading, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, in New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will always be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away." The one who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." What John is seeing is a vision of heaven. At one time, all of our tears will be wiped from our eyes, and there will be no more pain or suffering or mourning. However, by Jesus telling us, "Love one another as I have loved you," he came into our world, he suffered, he ultimately sacrificed his life. Why? Obviously to get us to heaven, to open up the gates of heaven, but also to bring us comfort while we are still on this earth. So whereas we're never going to experience perfect joy in this life, because it's not heaven, there is suffering in this world, we can achieve through the love of the Lord a lot of peace, a great deal of peace in this life. And here's the deal. Through working through us, Jesus can give his love and comfort to those people who are hurting. So by us listening to Jesus, "Love one another as I have loved you," we can be Jesus to those around us. That is huge. That is so important. You and I, we're the hands and the feet of Jesus in the world today. We continue his work. And what's his biggest work? Love. Love one another as I have loved you. Even when it hurts. And when you pray for somebody, yes, it can hurt because you're giving up some of your free time. You're giving us up some of your comfort. That's sacrifice. That's all part of it. Doesn't have to be painful physical sacrifice. Love one another as I have loved you. That's the message. How about if we all work on it this week? Sound good? Thank you so much for listening. God bless you, and I look forward to joining you next week on the program. Bye-bye now.